honestly, is not my favorite kind of sermon to preach. I like sermons that, you know, sometimes are, you know, the heart convicting kind of, as people, epic type messages. I like to preach that kind of thing, but every now and again, the Lord just says, you know what, I want you to teach something this morning. So I don't know if you can call this preaching or whatever, but it's the truth disseminated. And you know what changes our life? It's the truth applied. You know, I'm talking to Christians this morning. It's truth applied. You know, as a person that follows Christ, you know, we can know all of the Bible that you could possibly shove into your mind. But if it doesn't apply to you, if you don't apply it to your life, if it doesn't make changes in our life, then what good is it? You know, that Word of God, it shapes you. Hebrews 4:12, you know the verse. I'll just read it to you this morning. This is a verse descriptive about the Word of God. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. It is the Word of God that gets into us and works and changes us and you know, convicts us and tells us, you know, what we're doing wrong. You know, I was thinking the other day, you know, the Lord was speaking to me, and you know, I tell stories about my kids, but you know what? There's times that I don't always do right, you know? And I was reading the other day that how we are to cherish our wives and to love our wives and to be kind to our wives and to nurture our wives. And you know, there's times that I'm short with my wife. And there are times that I don't answer her correctly. Amen? And there are times when I don't always do that with my kids, do it rightly. And there are times that none of us do those things rightly. And you know, what do we need to do? We just need to stay in this book so that we know and can stay fresh and to stay soft. You know, what grieves me so much is to see people who call themselves Christians that become hard to the Word of God. I've told you, I see it so often. You know, people come into the church and they'll sit this way in the pew. I've seen people read newspapers over the years. I've seen people text and surf the internet. I've seen all kinds of things, and it only tells me one thing, that you're hard to the Word of God and we're not open. And church, can I ask you this morning? I'll pray in a minute. I'm not going to preach long, I promise. It's hot. Hey, lady, don't give me a hard time. I know your boss. He's my friend. You're my friend. He'll help me out. You better watch it. And I won't, but I want to help us as a church. Today I want to talk about some practical Christian living stuff. I want to just get into the Word to see what it says about how we live for God, how we make decisions when maybe the Scripture's not super clear about right or wrong here. How do we make decisions about our freedom in Christ? You know, freedom in Christ is what we have when we become born again. But freedom is for a purpose. And it's not just simply for us to live any way we want, but it's for a purpose. And I want to share that purpose this morning with you a little bit. So before we pray, let's take our Bibles and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And we'll begin reading in verse 23. Paul says, "All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. And whatsoever is sold in the shambles, that eat, asking no questions, for conscience' sake. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and you be disposed to go, whatever is set before you, eat it, asking no question for conscience' sake. But if any man says to you, this is offered in sacrifice to idols, eat not for his sake that showed it, and for conscience' sake. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Conscience, I say, not thine own, but of the other. For why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? For if by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that which I give thanks? Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give none offense, neither to the Jews nor to the Gentiles nor to the church of God. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Be you followers of me, in chapter 11, verse 1, be you followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Dear Jesus, my Lord, I look at this text and I look at my notes and Lord, I don't see something that is profound and, you know, like talking about faith or talking about giving up our lives for God and things like that. Lord, this is talking about everyday living. And then I think, Lord, what can be more important than that? To know, to have a scriptural premise on how to live day by day. And God, I pray that you would wake up our church. I pray, Lord, that you would wake us up as individuals and help us to have such a passion and desire for the scriptures and for your things and for the things that are close to your heart and for the things that you desire and for the things that you want to be in our life. I pray, Lord, that we would have that desire and that passion to go after those things. And Lord, I see our church, and Lord, I'm burdened for our people. I carry a heavy load for our families and for our singles and for all the people in this church because, Lord, I pray that they live for you. And I pray, God, we have a passion and a hunger and a thirsting after righteousness. And I ask, Lord, that even this morning as we look at this little bit of scripture and just say a few brief things that, God, you would profoundly impact our life and that this word and these truths would absolutely make a change in how we live. And Lord, I am only a man, and I come before you as a man, and I ask you, God, to speak through me and to speak to your church. And Lord, that if you would empower me or set me aside, God, whatever it is you would desire, Lord, you have free course today, and you use this for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. What's Paul talking about in the scripture text here? Basically, it's this. People are getting saved. And now that Christians are saved and they're starting to, you know, be a bigger group and they're living in the world day by day and they're no longer under the Mosaic law. They're no longer under dietary restrictions. You know, Peter had that vision, had that dream, and the Lord, you know, showed him in that dream all these different animals. And Peter said, Lord, you know what? I don't eat those things. And the Lord said, that's all right, Peter. And he was using that to show Peter that he could go talk to Cornelius. And Cornelius got saved. And, you know, after that, you know, Peter would go down and he would eat with Gentiles. He would have a meal with them. He would eat what they eat. And, you know, he was no longer under those restrictions. Why? Because there is freedom in Christ. See, when these folks were getting saved and they were coming to know Christ as Savior, you know, they were stepping into freedom. But what Paul is saying, he wants to talk to us about here in the Scripture is, you know what, there are places in the Bible, there are things in this life that are not specifically talked about in the Bible. Does the Bible talk about, and I'll just arbitrarily take this out of the air, so don't think I'm trying to say anything. Does the Bible tell you what kind of music you should listen to? What style? You know? My kids love classical music. I'm still praying for them about that. You know, I didn't grow up in classical music. I grew up listening to hillbilly stuff. I grew up, you know, listening to George Jones and some dude named Strait singing with guitars and you know, listening to my dad play country music on the radio. And I grew up going up to the country listening to bluegrass and hearing banjos. And I'm so blessed. Jacob last night said, Daddy, my favorite instrument's the, no, Felicity said, Daddy, my favorite instrument's the banjo. And I'm thinking, I didn't even know you knew what a banjo was. You know, and you know, does the Bible tell you what kind of music to listen to? It doesn't, does it? Does the Bible tell you specifically what kind of entertainment or what kind of TV program you should watch? I mean, people watch TV in here, don't you, some of you? You know, what kind of TV program should we watch? You know, what certain things should we do in this life? Now, how do we decide those things? You know, do we just do like, do whatever's right in my own eyes? No, not really. Because what we need to be doing is what is right in God's eyes. You know, how do we live on a day-to-day basis in a world that is really not set apart for God? How do we live on a day-to-day basis in a world that is really set against God? And we can debate that all day long, but the reality is this world is set against God. Amen? It really is. Hey, you go anywhere, you go to the mall, you go to a shop somewhere, you just go out to Hyde Park and stand up there on that little speaker stool or corner or whatever, and you start telling them, hey, the Bible says if you don't repent, you're going to go to hell. You probably won't have a great welcome, will you? No, because this world is set against God. But we need to live in this world. And we need to live rightly, and we need to live righteously, and we need to live holy, and we need to live pleasing to the Lord. And Paul says, you know what, I see all these believers, and in Christ we're free. We don't have to live under those dietary restrictions. We don't live under the law anymore. We don't have 613 mitzvahs that tell us how to get up out of the bed and literally how to walk to the toilet. Amen? I'm glad about that. I normally don't walk to the toilet in the morning. I normally fall to the toilet, don't you? I mean, this morning when 5 o'clock came, my alarm went off. I literally said, I don't like you, and I hit my alarm clock. I said, go to sleep. You know, you wake up, and I bed feet across there. I said, I don't even think the dog is awake this morning. And I fall into the bathroom, and I get my coffee, and I get ready for the day, And you know, I praise the Lord that we don't live under the law, under those laws, aren't you? Amen? Man, I'm thankful for that. You know, we are free in Christ. And I love the word freedom. Freedom means it's a state of exemption from the power of or control of another. Do you know in Christ we are free from the power and dominion of Satan over us? You know, in Genesis 3:15 in the Garden of Eden, after Adam and Eve sinned, God said to Satan, you know what? There's going to come a one who's going to destroy your power that you have over these people. And he did, and Christ came, and he destroyed the power. He broke the power of Satan over people. It tells us in 2 Colossians that specifically when Christ died on the cross, he broke the power of Satan over you and I. What was that power? It was the law. It was the law. And where Satan could come to you and say, Stephen, you're condemned. You are a sinner and you are wrong before God and you are lost and you are mine. And that's the power Satan had over us. You can't go to heaven. You can't go to God because the law says you've sinned. Amen? That's the power he had over us. But in Colossians chapter 2, verses about 12 to 18, it talks about how Christ freed us from that power. And beloved, you should rejoice, Because Satan can't come to you, Jonathan and Lisa, and say, you know what? You're mine. You're bound. You're under the authority of me. You're under my power. No, because you are under the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? I know you've both accepted Christ as Savior. I know that your heart desires to live for Him and serve the living God. You're not under that power anymore. And as a believer in Christ, we're free in Jesus Christ. But are we free to live any way we want? Can we just go through this world and do what we want and desire what we want and just live the way we want? No. We're under restrictions, aren't we? See, people say, oh, I want to be free. But even in freedom, you have restrictions, don't you? Anybody drive a car this morning? About four of us. Yeah, okay, about four of us, amen? Did you drive here at any speed you wanted to? You could have. But there'd be a friendly yellow box that goes blink. That says if you get 12 points, you don't lose your license. If you get a blink from that camera, you're going to get a friendly letter from the council that says, my dearly beloved, you blew through one of my cameras and you owe me something. And they are going to want 60 pounds or whatever it is today. They're going to want something from you. If you drive here on a Monday through a Saturday and you park somewhere out here on these streets, you're under restrictions. You can only park on certain roads at certain times. If you park against those times and restrictions, you're going to get a traffic ticket. You live with restrictions in every aspect of your life. Anybody have a job here? Raise your hand. This is an interactive service today. I know it's warm, but we're going to make you work out. You have a job? Amen. You're under restrictions, aren't you? Danny, what time are you supposed to start work in the morning? Okay, what if happens if you show up at 10 o'clock? He has to finish a little bit later. What if you consistently show up at 10 or 11 or 9 or 1? What's going to eventually happen? Yeah. Danny says, I won't be showing up probably anymore. You have restrictions, don't you? There are restrictions in every aspect of our life. You know, I was restricted this morning. My body wanted to sleep, but that precious alarm clock sitting next to me at 5 a.m. went beep, beep, beep. And then at 5:05, it went beep, beep, 5:10. And finally, I got out of bed at about 5:12. We're under restrictions in every aspect of our life. You know what? We're even under restrictions in how we eat, aren't we? Ladies went to Fortnum and Mason last night for a ladies' tea. They had a wonderful time. I said to Lisa this morning, I said, so are you working out tomorrow? She goes, oh, yes. And jokingly, I said, oh, you're going to work out twice? She goes, yes, yes. You know why? Because I broke my restrictions. You know, I ate some scones and clotted cream a couple of times. You know, I had some sandwiches that were not made with low-fat bread or low-fat mayonnaise or whatever on the low-fat, no-fat. Everything in my house is no-fat, low-fat, you know? I've lost a stone in weight because my wife is under restrictions. Why, she self-imposed these restrictions. But if she wanted to be at a healthy weight, she had to be at restrictions. Amen? Beloved, we scream about freedom, but the reality is freedom comes with restrictions. And in Jesus Christ, we are free, are we not? We're very free. I am free from the punishment of my sin. I am free from the power of Satan over my life. I am free from the bondage that I felt being away from God. You know, the Bible says, Paul again in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12, he says, all things in this life, all things are lawful to me, but you know what? All things are not expedient. He says, all things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. What Paul's saying here is this, in Christ, you know what? I'm free to do the things that are lawful to do. I'm free to do the things where Scripture does not say, thou shalt not, I'm free to do. I'm free to do the things where the Bible doesn't tell me I cannot do those things, like lie. I'm not free to lie. I'm not free to kill. I'm not free to steal. I'm not free to covet. I'm not free to lust after someone of the opposite sex. I'm not free to do that because the Word of God says no. But Paul says, where the Scripture doesn't say no, I'm free to do whatever. But you know what? Paul says there, wait a minute, let's think about this. I can do those things where Scripture says nothing about or doesn't tell me no, but you know what? Not everything is profitable for me. Amen? You ever think about that? Not everything is profitable. That word expedient means profitable. Not everything in this life is good for me to do. And he says something else that I think is quite intriguing. He says, I am not going to become a slave to anything. You know, I was reading an article recently, and it was talking about pornography. And the world says, you know what? You cannot tell me that I can't look at these magazines or these pictures or these things on the internet because I'm free to do whatever I want to do. But what happens when an individual begins to look at that pornography? You can become a slave to that pornography, can't you? That pornography gets a hook in, and then it controls you. And it has your mind, has your heart. And you think about that thing, and you can't wait to get the next this or the next that. And I've watched men destroy their lives over that pornography. There's a man that I see all the time walking up the high street in the terrace here, and I see him going into all the bookshops, all the betting places. And every day is the same exact thing. He's got a can of beer in his hand, he's got a cigarette in the other hand, and he's in and out of these betting shops. That's all that he does. And my heart goes out for him because you know what I see? He says, you know what, I'm free to do whatever I want. No, you're not. Because you're a slave to that addiction. And Christian, if you're not careful, if I'm not careful, we can become slaves to these things. And so my question is, Lord, how do I determine in areas of my life where the Bible doesn't, you know, say, thou shalt not, how do I determine what I should do? Because you say, Lord, that I am free. But am I really free just to do anything that I want to do? Am I free? Now, don't take this wrong, but is a person free to just go streaking down High Street? No. Because if you do that, somebody in a nice, soft, cushioned van is going to come and pick you up and put you in a nice, cushioned room and possibly with a special coat on. You're not free to do everything. And Christian, I want to tell you this morning, we are not free just simply to do whatever we desire to do. So what we need is to look at the Word of God again. And even though the Bible might not tell you specifically do this or don't do this, maybe the Bible's silent about what music you should listen to. Maybe the Bible is silent specifically. Should I watch, I don't even know what actor to name. Should I watch Stephen act in this movie? Should I watch this? Should I listen to this? Should I read this? Should I hang out in this area? Should I get involved in this thing? You know, hey, should I get involved in this charity group? Should I get involved in this situation? I mean, it applied to everything in life. How do you decide what God wants you to do? How do you decide what's right for you? How do you decide what's profitable for you? How do you decide what might hurt you? So in this text that I read to you this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul's talking about now that we're free in Christ, you know what? Before we couldn't eat meat served sacrificed to idols. But you know what? It's okay now. You go ahead and do that. But let me give you some criteria about how to determine if you should or not. Because some believers thought it was fine to eat the meat, and other believers thought it was still wrong to eat the meat. What about smoking? What about drinking? What about certain movies? What about everything in life? Well, how do we determine these things? I know it's hot. I can see your faces. Pastor's not even done with his introduction. I am now. How do we determine these things? Beloved, more than anything in our heart, don't we want to please the one who saved us? Wouldn't it be worth to forego some freedom, some ability to do things, but we forego it because it brings pleasure and glory and honor to our God? Wouldn't it be better, Danny, for us to sacrifice a little bit to really enjoy His presence in our life? What do you think? Amen? So let's just look at Scripture. This is where we live, folks, day in and day out. You know what? I know I shouldn't lie because the Bible says don't lie. But what about some of the other things in this life? How should we determine it? I said to you in the introduction that how do we determine what to do when the Bible is silent about specific things? So, let me give you point number one. When the Word of God is silent, because the Bible didn't tell Christians, you can't eat sacrificed meat. It didn't say to them, you can eat sacrificed meat. It gave them a principle how to determine whether or not they can eat sacrificed meat. So, Christian, let's look at four things this morning to determine how we live in our freedom in Christ. Number one, I said, when the Bible's silent, what do you do? The first thing you do when the Bible is silent about things is, number one, go look at the Bible, the Word of God. But, Pastor, you said, but what if the Bible's silent? You know what? The Bible might be silent about a specific do this or don't do this. But there's a wonderful thing that we can glean from the Word of God, and that is that our principles. We can glean principles from Scripture on guidance on what to do. Mark 12, verse 24 says, and Jesus answered and said to them, do you not therefore err because you know not the Scriptures? And what a wonderful verse that is. He's talking to these religious people who don't get it, and they're lost, and they've not accepted the Messiah. And the Lord Jesus just says, you know what? Aren't you in erring because you don't know the Word of God nor the power of God? And Christian, we should never be that way, oh beloved. As believers in Christ, we should never be in this situation that we err because we do not know God's Word. In everything that we do, in every aspect of our life, we need to saturate it with the Word of God. The Bible says in Psalms 119, 105, and none of this stuff today is probably new to you, but I feel burdened and compelled to share this with you. Psalms 119, 105, the Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You know what it does? It guides me. Amen? It guides you. If we look to this Word, seek the Word's counsel, it will guide us in all areas of our life. Also in Psalms 119, verse 11, it says this, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. See, when we just simply, someone said to me, Pastor, I've read my Bible sometimes and I don't get anything out of it. I said, oh, really? Really? Probably what you're telling me is maybe you're just so busy, your mind was sidetracked, and maybe what you're saying is you didn't get this epic thought, or you didn't get this wow factor. Have you ever read the Bible and not had a wow factor? I've read the Bible and just not had a wow factor. Now, always speaks to me in some way, but I don't always get a wow factor. And I was thinking about this one day and talking to another pastor, and I said, preacher, sometimes I read and, you know, and I get things, but I don't get a wow. It's like I walk away thinking, I don't really have anything special today from the Word. And he looked at me and he said, Steve, he said, it doesn't matter. As long as you're in the Word of God and there's no sin there and, you know, you stay right with the Lord and you're seeking Him, here's what's happening. The Word of God is a sift. And as you run your life through that Word of God, you know what? It's working. And it's cleaning. And it's sifting. Beloved, I encourage you in our everyday matters of life. When you have a situation, you're not sure what to do, and the Bible's not specific about what to do, you seek God's Word anyway. And the principles in there will guide you and direct you. And if anything, you know what? The Holy Spirit will begin to give you wisdom. Watch this, Proverbs chapter 2. My son, if you will receive my words and hide my commandments with you, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yea, if you cry out after knowledge and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search her for as hid treasures, then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Beloved, the wisdom and understanding and the knowledge is right there in that book. And that's what we need to do. The Word of God is wonderful. It says in 2 Timothy, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. You know what the funny thing is? That means Chronicles, the first 10, you know, the first 10 chapters of any book of Chronicles, man, it's tough stuff, isn't it? Man, you've got more begetting and more names that you can't pronounce in 10 chapters. And you know what I do with those 10 chapters? You say you don't know. I don't stop reading. I speed read them. Methuselah got Methuselah, and Methuselah got Beulah, and Beulah got Mithmatha. And I mean, I speed read them. But you know what? After I did that, the Lord convicted me, and I thought, there's still good stuff down there. It talks about people who were outside of the line of God but got into the line of God. Amen? And I'm glad about that because, Curtis, I was outside, but Jesus brought me inside. Amen? And my name's written in that book, the Lamb's Book of Life. And all I'm saying to you this morning, in this life, you search God's Word. Maybe you don't have a verse that specifically says to you, do or don't. But when you search God's Word, He'll give you wisdom, He'll give you understanding, He'll give you counsel, and He'll give you direction. Thy Word, God, Thy Word, Father, Thy Word, Lord, is a lamp unto my feet. It is a light in this life that I live, and it lights and guides the path that I walk. So that's number one. But number two, we get directly from our text this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Folks, when you're making decisions about what to do, one of the primary things that we need to do in deciding what we do or don't do is this. Number two, to the glory of God. I don't know how to put it any other way. Look at the Word of God, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. Here's what Paul says. Whether you eat this meat or drink this drink, do all to the glory of God. The Bible says in that verse, whether you eat this meat or drink this drink, or whatever you do to the glory of God. What does that mean? You know what, Lord? I'm going to go see this particular film. And Lord, I'm going to do it to your glory. How do you do that? How do you do something to the glory of God? I mean, you know, Lord, I'm going to eat this hamburger from McDonald's, triple cheese, melted super burger, to the glory of God. Well, how do you do that? What we need to understand is, what does it mean to the glory of God? The phrase to the glory of God is equivalent to this understanding. It is to be done to the honor of God. It is to be done to honor God in all that we do. That we should so act in all things as to honor the Lord as our lawgiver, as our creator, as our savior, as our redeemer. See, to do things to the glory of God is to do things that honors him in our doing of it. And it means to do things that bring honor to God. And that right there is a killer, isn't it? Paul says, in determining in your freedom in Christ whether you should do this or not do this, you have to run the act. You have to run what you're thinking about through this thing. Does it bring honor to God? Does it bring honor to the Lord? You know, I was thinking about this morning. A child, when he brings honor to his father, you know what he does? That child will bring honor to his father because he cherishes the thought of his dad. See, a child that does not cherish the thought of his father will not work to bring honor to his father. A Christian who does not cherish the thought of his heavenly father will not work to bring honor to his father. He'll work to bring honor to himself. You see, how do you bring honor to God? In all of our thoughts, we are to cherish him. In all of our thankfulness of his favors, we should give him the glory. When we obey the Father's rules in our life, and what are his rules? It's the scripture. That's how we bring honor to the Lord. So when we are faced with something about our freedom in life, you know what? Should I listen to this song? Do you know what I ask myself? Does this song take away anything from my Lord? Does this song distract my heart from thinking about God? Does this song help me to praise my Lord? Now you're thinking, because I know you're smart, you're thinking, well, how can you sit down and just eat a meal to the honor of God? You know how you do it? You don't overeat. We talk about the sin of smoking or the sin of drinking or the sin of cussing or the sin of immorality, but how about the sin of gluttony? Not too many Baptist preachers preach on gluttony, do they? You won't hear too many sermons about overeating. And my wife, one of the things that she's done, she's lost about 4 stone in weight. For you North Americans who don't know what a stone is yet, it's about 14 pounds per stone. So she's lost about 60 pounds of weight. No fad diet. She did 2 things. She watched what she ate, and she exercised. And then she started preaching to all of us in the house, that's not good for you to eat. I know, but I like it. That's not good for you to eat. Then all of a sudden, all that stuff disappeared. And then I lost a stone of weight myself. Why? Because she said, you know what? The way I was before did not honor God. So she looked at how even to lose weight in the aspect, does it bring glory to God? Does it honor the Father? Number 3. You know, folks, we're free to do whatever we want, but in the restrictions of God's direction. And we always need to look at God's word, what it says. We always need to ask ourselves, can we do this to the honor and glory of God? And number 3, and folks, this is a huge one. Look at the Bible again, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 32. Paul's talking about how you exercise freedom in Christ. Number 3, he says, give no offense. It says there in verse 32, give no offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. And those 3 descriptions there basically means all people. Do not give offense to people. Beloved, when you and I decide to do something, when we're faced to make a decision, should we do this? Should we not do this? Should this be a part of our life? We need to ask ourselves, will this give offense to people? And it doesn't mean this. I'll be honest with you. I like Christian blues. BJ, you like Christian blues a little bit? One of the groups I really enjoy is Third Day. That dude, Mac Powell's voice just blesses me. And when he talks about heaven and salvation, he sings a song called The Thief, I think it is, and on the cross, and he's this guy, the thief on the cross that got saved, he's singing about the Lord and his salvation, and I think, wow, we need to sing that at church, and it blesses my heart, and I can't remember why I was telling that story, so I need to look at my notes. I like Christian blues, but my brother-in-law doesn't. And a matter of fact, he takes it to such an extreme that he doesn't like any kind of that Christian contemporary music. and it offends him. And you know what he says to me? He says, oh, that's rubbish. I said, why don't you like it? He said, I just don't like it. I just don't like it. You know what? There's going to be things you do that other people don't like. That's not what this verse is talking about. What it's talking about is this. That word offense is the definition of to stumble or to cause to sin. Is that my phone? I usually leave my phone on accidentally, and I thought I was doing that. But it means to cause to sin. My friend Curtis. Keisha, that's okay. Just blame Curtis. That's all right. And it means to cause to sin. Now, if my Christian blues or if my third day, if listening to Mac Powell would lead my brother-in-law to sin, then I'd have to stop doing it. Because the Bible says, you know what? You have the freedom to listen to Christian music. You have the freedom to listen to Mac Powell. You have the freedom to listen to Mercy's Well or Mercy's Me or Mercy Somebody. You have the freedom to listen to Bach or Beethoven. You have the freedom to do that. But listen, Paul says through the inspiration of Scripture, if your freedom in doing that causes another brother to sin, you don't have that freedom to do it. Amen? Hey, for I know this is tough, but we need to look at how we live our life. And if we just go helter-skelter living this Christian life and don't live in the confines of Scripture, we're doing wrong. Does what I do cause another brother to sin? Romans 14:13 says this, let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Now, I'm very careful because I know that my brother-in-law doesn't listen to the music that I listen to. He says to me all the time, he says, you know what, you're just different. I said, I know that. That's okay. But, you know, I don't call him up and put Mac Powell on the radio or my phone and blast it over to him. Because if he thinks that's not right for him, I don't want to tempt him. Amen? And beloved, listen, that's what we need to do for our weaker brother. If that would cause our weaker brother to do wrong, what he feels is wrong, then we ought not to do it. Or what we need to do is do it at home privately and just keep it quiet. Because it's not a sin, is it? The Bible doesn't say you shouldn't listen to Mac Powell. The Bible, you know, when it says something sin, then you ought not to do it. But if we have the freedom in Christ, let's do that as long as it can bring glory to God, as long as it causes no offense to another brother in Christ. Do you understand what I'm saying? See, the church today, we just live any way we want. And we go out into this world and we don't consider can this be done to God's honor? Does this cause another Christian brother to sin and to stumble? You know, the Bible says in Romans 14, verse 12 and 13, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. And that's verse 12. And because we give an account to God, he says, let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but rather judge this, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to sin in his brother's way. You know, beloved, we cannot allow our freedom in Christ to hurt a fellow Christian. Amen? Paul says again in 1 Corinthians 8:9, but take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. And then number 4. You know, the Bible's good. It tells us how to live. In all things, we need to seek God's counsel and His Word. In all things, we need to seek whether this brings honor to Him or not. In all things, we need to consider, does freedom in Christ cause another brother to sin? And then lastly, and this is dear to my heart, and I'll close. In verse 33 in 1 Corinthians 10, it says, you know, even as I please all men in all things, Paul says, not seeking my own profit, I'm not doing this for my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Everybody look at me. You and I in Christ, we're the salt and light of this world. Do you know what? I know that God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, somebody could write Jesus saves on a rock and someone see that and fall under conviction. I know that because salvation is of the Lord, is it not? It is of the Lord. I believe that you could take a gospel tract, rip it in half, and have only this part of the verse showing, for God so loved the world. That's it. I believe the Word of God is so powerful. I believe the Holy Spirit works so powerfully. I believe God wants people to be saved so intently that if all a person sees is for God so loved the world, he could come under conviction of his sin and turn to God and repent, and he could be saved. Amen? Amen? But you know what God does? He says to Bettina, you're my voice. He says to Terry, you're my hands. He says to Sheila, you're my feet. He says to Jonathan, you're my body. He says to Esther, you're my eyes. Do you see what I'm saying? You are my facility to take the gospel to the world. God puts you where you're at, not because you're lucky enough to be there, but you're where you're at because God puts you there. He wants you there. You're there for a purpose and you're there for a reason. And I don't see Gloria. She disappeared somewhere. There, I knew you were here somewhere. I just couldn't find you. Gloria, where are you? There you are. Let me look at you. I got my new niece, so I better be here. Gloria, for 10 years, you were in the home of the Parse family for one reason, to let the gospel shine in that home. You do not know what Aaron did in his last few moments. You do not know what the Word of God has worked in his life over the years, do you? You're there for a purpose. Christian, I'm telling you, we're here in this world for a purpose. Bon, God doesn't save us just so that we can live now we're saved. Let's live now we're saved. Let's live. No, he saves you for a purpose. And then he puts you into this world and he gives us the Word of God to guide our life. But when the Word of God doesn't say specifically about what we should or shouldn't do, then he gives us the principle. Does it honor God, Curtis? Does your job honor God? Does the things that we do honor him? Do the things that we do cause another brother to stumble? I'll pick on you, but know this. I'm not thought through what I'm about to say. Okay? Now, Curtis, people know you're a Christian because you're quite vocal about it. And he calls me up and says, yeah, I've talked to so-and-so about the Lord today. Amen? Therefore, Curtis, you have greater responsibility to live faithful because they know. And because they know what you do and do not do, does it cause a brother or sister to stumble? Amen? And then lastly, and I'll finish with this. I started it already. Verse 33, that they may be saved. Curtis, everybody else in this room, you listen. Do you know what one of the greatest factors of determining what we should or shouldn't do should be? Is, will this lead people to Jesus, or will this push people away from Jesus? Amen? I had a good time getting to know BJ and Cassie this past week. And I'm blessed because he likes some of the music I like. And I'm liking some Todd Agnew. And I'm thinking Brewster can really play that thing, can he? And I'm enjoying that stuff. But I'll tell you what, I'll be honest with you. If it got to a point where me listening to some Agnew or Brewster or Third Day or whatever was keeping people from getting saved? Not. But if it would, do you know what I'd have to do? Stop it. Amen? Because I'm here for a purpose. And my purpose is to point people to Jesus Christ. And in all things, I might have liberty. But my Jesus says, you know what? Make decisions based on this. Christian, live for God through that book and the power of the Holy Spirit. Seek His face for wisdom. Because you know what? There come a day when we are held in judgment for what we have done and have not done here. Amen. Father in heaven, I thank you, Lord, for today. And I've spoken all my words, Jesus. I don't have any more words to say. But in this final prayer, in this final plea, God, I pray that your people would live encouraged and would live righteously for you. And Lord, I don't know, maybe there's someone in here that's not born again this morning. And God, I pray maybe even now that you would reach down in your grace and draw them to you and that open their eyes and their heart to see that they're a sinner and that they need to be saved. And God, I pray that maybe they'd even come and speak to us this morning or even right now in their pew, just look to you and ask for forgiveness and turn to you with all their heart and just trust you by faith. And Lord, I pray for that person, that man, that woman, that young person that calls himself a follower of Christ. Here's my plea, my prayer, my desire this morning, that they would truly and honestly be a follower of Christ. Lord, help us. And may you receive all the glory from this. In Jesus' name, amen. You know,